Hello, and welcome to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
All right. Well, in our continued madcap scheme to put all of the work of this podcast onto the listeners and also give up any power we have in directing where it goes, we have received suggestions for our Ramblecast.
Really, the goal is to make an audio version of a mirror.
When you look into this podcast, you see yourself.
That is the scheme, is to get it like listener powered. Like on gerbil wheels.
Yeah. I would like for it to be the audio version of two mirrors facing each other and whatever.
And a laser in between them.
Yeah, and you just bounce that light back and forth until it becomes something substantial.
And if you step between them, you lose your soul.
If you step between them, you get transported to space. Or somewhere else.
My scheme,
I don't know,
is
what are those mirrors up to?
Is to transfer all blame for the show onto the listeners, so no one can be mad at us for it.
That's a good plan.
My goal is basically after every bit, I can just shrug and be like, hey, you wanted it.
Yeah, this one's your fault. So we got suggestions from a couple of people, so we have plenty to keep us busy for a while.
Okay.
Our first one is a question from Lily.
From who?
Lily.
Yes. I know who Lily is.
Lily / Ladybug would like us to answer, what is the thing in our life that we're most proud about and why?
Who wants to start?
I mean, that's deep. I have to think about
whoever,
it.
Whoever starts is going to have to set the tone for the rest of the responses. Because I think we're all kind of sitting on the seesaw of which direction this is going to go in. I will submit, I using only one packet of rubber bands from the Dollar General and the parts I salvaged from a radiator, I have broken the sound barrier. You may not ask me how.
But how?
I may not divulge that secret.
Like, because the government said?
That is an accomplishment that is mine. I was the first person to do it, and no one can take it away from me.
Or replicate it.
Or even replicate it, yeah.
Because that's how science works. You do it once and never again.
That is usually how science works. I have a rash. Not relevant to this question, but...
Are you proud of that rash?
I don't think I've ever been proud of a rash.
You haven't looked at it and was like, wow, rash, you're really killing it, buddy. Look at you go.
I might be proud of a rash if I, like... got it in a heroic way, like if it was like, it's kind of a weaker battle scar, but like if you saved somebody from a burning building but you were allergic to smoke and you came out with a rash, like that's a rash to be proud of.
Well, what if you're proud of it in a parental kind of way?
Like this is my diseased son who lives on my was this called the your, inner part of your
bicep,
your seps, sort of where the seps
your
fuse
intercepts
together. Yeah, intercepts. Yeah. By Christopher Nolan. This is really what I wanted out of this program was somebody say something. And it just sort of gets us through, like, the first 60 seconds of sound. and then we kind of pick up the plot where we want to.
We don't answer your questions.
I mean, I have an answer.
Yeah?
All of my adult answers are the boring kind, where it's just like, I like the things I do as a job. I think that's
sure.
Pretty cool, and I'm getting pretty good at it. That makes me
right.
Happy.
Yeah.
So I have my proudest childhood moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I can recall.
Let's say proudest non-boring thing.
Yeah, sure.
Because, yeah, you can say like, oh, I did whatever as an adult. I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
So far, like, still alive. That's
moderately proud of that.
Around the time of, like, second or third grade, I was in like special language class for kids who aren't good at writing yet.
Uh-huh.
Just need a little boost.
Yeah.
Which is like a, I think, after school thing just to go to. And we had a spelling test on some vocab words.
Yeah.
And I went, this is going to be an interesting thing because it presents that I'm a outside the box thinker, but also that I don't like pay attention to what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Because it was specifically for vocab words that we were supposed to be studying.
We do have 3 years of evidence to those two traits.
Yeah, and
exactly.
This will continue to corroborate that. It was a spelling test. The question was, like, what do you put your food on?
Okay.
And I wrote plate, which you will note is a five-letter word.
Yes. What did it ask for?
The vocab word that we were supposed to write was dish.
Yeah, okay.
Which was a four-letter word.
Yeah.
And so my teacher was like, well, you didn't write the word, but you did write a better word.
You
so
got one
you
extra
got some
letter
points.
In there.
Yeah.
And I was proud of that. Like, oh, none of these other dumbass kids knew what a plate was. They all wrote dish.
Let's see. Along those lines, I got an extra point on a test from the student teacher in my 10th grade English class. Like, if I didn't know an answer to something, I would just, like, make up something convoluted or, like, write in my own argument. For,
sure.
Or just a drawing and be like, I submit this instead of an answer. How does this grab you? Is this worth anything? And I did get a bonus point. This was, like, after a year. Like, sort of a year's cumulative effort of wearing this woman down. But she did give me a point because I wrote in sheep and the words Jedi mind trick above it. She was like, yes, yes, it is sheep. This is correct. And so, that was good.
So that was the one time it actually worked.
It's the feeling of payoff and a job well done.
Sure.
The dumb way my brain works is only pulling, like, shame memories.
It's an interesting sort of word association when someone says pride.
It's like, what is
to think only of shame.
What's the dumb shit I've done?
I do have a similar story to the one that I told, which was even earlier, like, first grade or kindergarten, around then.
Yeah.
When you're supposed to start to learn how to read, roughly, like picture books and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were supposed to bring in a book to read to our classmates. So I picked a book that my mom read to me all the time, so I knew it basically by heart.
Yeah.
And pretended to read it, because I could not read.
I was able to do that with Spooky Old Tree.
I definitely held the book, read from it, but was just making it up as I went.
Did you turn the pages at the right point to sell the illusion?
I mean, I did play act. As if, like, okay, time to turn the page.
Okay. I at one point had memorized I can read with my eyes shut, and then would read it with my eyes shut, because, like, it's not a long book. There's not much to memorize. My parents made me memorize the answers to things essentially as a party trick.
Like you were a parrot?
Kinda. Yeah. So they would just be like, what's the atomic number of carbon? And I would say either 6 or 12.
Yeah.
Or not one of those. If it's not either of those. I no longer remember the atomic number of carbon, but I think it's 6 or 12. I don't remember the questions. I remember the answers.
Yeah.
Broccoli was an answer. Louis the 14th.
Okay, Gordy.
Was another answer.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Don't say all of them because you might be activated. So just leave out the last one. I don't want to see what happens.
Those are the only ones I remember.
Okay, good.
That's it. I'm going to look it up, though.
I am proud of my, like, four-year-old self. I do not remember very well.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that Carmen knew, like, all of the airplanes in the air show, like, could name all of them, every single one that was up in the air, and also knew everything that we knew about dinosaurs that you would tell a four-year-old. And once went to a special dinosaur exhibit at Zoo Atlanta and corrected some of the wrong information there.
Hell yeah.
Because 4-year-old Carmen was pretentious as fuck, but also knew the shit out of dinosaurs.
If somebody wrote in the question, like, what's your most shameful moment, that zoo attendant would answer that.
When a 4-year-old
corrected me about dinosaurs.
Dunked on you at the thing. I would just like to say, I've still got it. It is 6.
Nice.
Atomic number of carbon, 6.
Excellent. And response to your story, Tyler, there was one point, this has nothing to do with me, this was my sister, sure. But she was going to read to us, and so she gathered us all, for some reason, in my parents' bathroom, which was a pretty decent size.
The place where you read.
Room. Yeah, she sat on the edge of the tub, and she pulled out the book, and she didn't say a word, but she did move her head very dramatically and flip the pages, and about, like, 2 minutes into this, my mom says, so are you going to read to us? And she's like, I'm reading with my forehead like mom does. Which is a good way to do it. And then my legitimate proud moment, fun proud, not adult proud, was when we pulled out a 2-week production of an original written performance with 2 classes who had previously not spoken to each other in my high school. Getting all of the other art teachers on board while our theater teacher was sick with pneumonia and sabotaging our show.
I am proud of this moment. And when I was in high school, when I made, it was like $100 to destroy a light board in some other high school.
You bastard! I'll kill you, Gordy.
The teacher seemed very angry, but I didn't ask any questions. I don't care who my clients are. I do what I'm paid to do.
Does that mean he's innocent?
Well, he did pay me to do it.
Oh. You just care that the trail is cold.
I just pray. I'm just happy that the cops don't find me afterwards.
Yeah, I told Gordy
a ghost.
This full story too long ago.
It does end in light board sabotage.
It does. My theater teacher did sabotage our light board to the point that it needed to be replaced. Like, they called the people who made the light board to come fix it after 2 years of it being unusable. And they're like, yeah, no, wires have been cut. You need a new one.
They used to call Gordy the Phantom of the Light Board.
He'd wander around
back
high school
in
theaters
school.
In a half mask, yeah. And a cape.
Yeah.
And like,
make all the gobos
cutters.
Go weird.
Bolt cutters. Bolt cutters. I think Phantom of the Opera would benefit from bolt cutters.
That's probably true.
Or a signature weapon of some sort.
Even if he didn't use them, if he just carried them the entire
yeah.
show.
Because, I mean, he's just, like, he's just an ugly dude who
right.
sings.
If there was threat present.
Like, okay, fine. Does that make you a phantom?
Sure, he's singing, but what's he going to do with those bolt cutters?
Yeah, that's...
Are you suggesting that bolt cutters make you more of a phantom than not bolt cutters?
They make you more threatening.
I think it gets you closer. It's not like a qualifying thing.
So are electricians, like, phantoms of...
I'm saying if he had like some kind of signature weapon or threatening thing.
He had a rapier.
It's a +2 to your spooky modifier.
I don't remember that from the sequel that I saw.
I don't,
that was not
I don't know what happened in the sequel, but he
there
had a rapier in the original.
He lost his rapier.
There was something with a gun at the end.
I mean, that's probably more threatening than bolt cutters.
Or like
it's
if
not
he
very
was a,
phantasmic.
Could he be a wizard?
That would be a lot more phantasmic than both a gun and bolt cutters.
Yeah. And who's the guy?
You're thinking of the Wizard of Ozbra.
Yeah. Who's the guy? Because Andrew Long is the name that keeps coming to head, and he did not write Phantom of the
Lloyd
Opera.
Webber.
No. Yeah, it's Lloyd Webber.
It is an Andrew. It's an Andrew L.
Mm-hmm.
And we've read too many of these stories, so
L-W.
I just kind of... Sometimes my brain just does an autofill thing, or it'll just kind of like... scan the stuff really quickly and be like, oh yeah, this is probably it.
You can just call him
chunk some information into that slot.
Call him Fairy Tale Andy and Cats Andy.
Cats Andy? I think
Jellicle Andy.
The Heaviside Layer Andy.
Jellicle Andy.
Mr. Mistoffel Andy.
That's pretty good.
Cha-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, cha-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Cha-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, cha-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.